Welcome to the service on this Labor Day weekend. We're glad you've chosen to be with us. We appreciate each one that's here, especially the visitors. Hope you get something good from the service, and we can all participate by joining our hearts in prayer to God and our voices in song. How about starting with number 278 in the Blue Book, in the Sweet Forever, 278. Thank you. Turn back a few pages to number 228. 228, we'll do the first, second, and fourth verses.
See you. Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, Mr. Carolyn. Thank you for the good playing and the good singing this morning. Our crowd is down. I was kind of shocked when I walked in and I thought, wait a minute, today's Labor Day weekend, isn't it? Yeah, it seems like we all tend to take our time and go off sometimes, but let's follow the footprints of Jesus. Let's do what the Lord would bid us to do today in this service, and let's try to be about God's business in this service. I think that's the best thing that we can do. And we'll miss the ones that are not here today, but it will be most assuredly a blessing if we'll just follow the Lord and let Him lead us in this day. Let's all be about God's business today, and let's try to follow Him in this service, and let's try to do something for Him here in the coming day, and just try to do what God would lay up on our hearts. We're going to move right along today. We'll do our children's church today and bring the kids over here to this side. I don't think we got a lot today, the way it looks, but we'll talk to who we got. You going all the way over here or over there? You going to run me around, huh? Got one more coming. Pat Cohen. Come right on. How are you, man? Come on. She gonna bring you with her, huh? Good to see everybody today. Thank you for being here today. And like I said, we ain't got many kids today. I guess they're out swimming or something. Maybe they've gone to another church somewhere. I don't know. But let's be about the Lord's business today, okay? All right. I know you guys are small enough that you do not think about this in many ways. And that's, but a question that comes to a lot of people's minds a lot of times is, why am I here? You know, there's a lot of people say that about this world. They'll say, why are we here? Matter of fact, I heard a story one time about a boy in a Sunday school class that the teacher said, why are we here? And the teacher said, we are here to help others. Well, one little boy jumped up and he said, okay, then if we're here to help others, what's the others going to do? So we all have a purpose, don't we? In the Bible, there's a young lady by the name of Esther. I'll get it out in a minute. But Esther, she was a young lady. Her family were of the tribe of Judah. There was a great army that came by, and they took them captive. Now, can you imagine somebody taking you and your family out of your house and taking you, we'll say, to a faraway land? And they wanted you just to take care of them. Maybe they wanted you to be like a waitress that you go into a restaurant for to wait on their table, bring them food, something like that. Maybe even clean their house. Ben, could you clean somebody's house? Just do. Okay, you do what you could. And that's what these people did. This young lady, Esther, now, she was born there. But there came a day when that everybody said, why are we here? But Esther was called in because the king of that country wanted her and these other young women. They were in a beauty contest. Anybody watched a beauty contest before to see who was going to be the most pretty? Which one do you think would be most pretty? Cohen? No. Gwen? Hey, Maddie? One of y'all be the prettiest, wouldn't you? But yeah. Yep. You are famous. But the idea was for Esther and the other young ladies to be the prettiest one they could be. and the king picked Esther. Now, she was basically a girl of captivity. She shouldn't have been there in the first place. But the thing about it was God had a purpose for her being in that place. So anytime that you think that there's no reason why I should be here, God has a reason for you being in church. God has a reason for you being helpful to your mom and daddies. You see, Esther, on one occasion, there was one guy in the king's group that did not like those people of captivity, so much so that he wanted every one of them destroyed. And you know what he did? He got the king to sign a paper saying all of the people of the captivity were going to be destroyed. Well, what happened was Esther stepped in by her uncle's desire for her to go before the king. And it said that she was there for that purpose, to save her people. You know, there's going to come a day that you, when you're saved, that you can help somebody else get saved. And that's going to be your job. You're here for a great purpose. Maybe you don't understand it right now, but I always want you to know you're here for a very good reason. I'll turn you loose from that. Tried to cut that down as much as I could. So, good morning again, everybody. I hope you've had a good week. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Does anybody have a prayer request before we go any further into the service? Lord, help. Thank you, Brother James. Glad you and Sister Ann are visiting with us today. Always glad to see y'all come in. And let's do remember his friend that has colon cancer and his pastor's wife who is also dealing with cancer. Let's be prayerful for everyone that's dealing with this cancer that's around us. Let's be prayerful that the Lord might heal them in these cases. Somebody else. Good. Let's continue to remember Brother Leslie's daughter, that she'll continue to get better. Somebody else? Yeah. Oh, okay. Let's do remember Brother Slick also, and let's do remember Sister Nettie. She was able to be here last Sunday, but let's do remember her. As you notice, when she comes in, barely can walk, but she comes. I'm thankful that she does. Somebody else. Lord help.
His name is Gail, and so y'all could just remember him.
Yeah. Let's do remember the Reed's brother-in-law, that he's going through some serious health problems. Let's do remember them in our prayers. Somebody else. Let's remember all of our sick. It's good to see Sister Linda back with us today. First time she's been back since Brother Sonny's passing, and we're glad she's come back to be with us today, and I pray the Lord will bless her. She's still having some health issues of herself. We do need to remember her in our prayers, as well as others in our church that have been mentioned, but some have not been mentioned. Let's do remember them in our prayers today. Somebody else. It's good to see each and every one here today. We ask that you all pray. Pray that the Lord will bless this service. If it's the Lord's will that I stand today and preach, you pray that the Lord will help me today in this message. No other prayer request? Yeah, there is some of our members that are struggling, some of our visitors even, that are struggling in different ways. We do need to continue to remember them in our prayers. Somebody else? Brother James, would you lead us in prayer, please? Everybody pray in your own way.
Let's finish up with 179.
Good to see everybody today. I pray that the Spirit overflows us like a river today. If you've ever been wading out in, we'll say, in water, in a creek or a river or maybe even the ocean, and suddenly you found nothing below your feet and you went under, it's kind of a startling fact. But when the Spirit of God overflows us that way, it is really a great thing. And I pray our church would feel that more and more often is what I would. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart this morning? It's good to see everybody out today. Appreciate our visitors being here. We're thankful that you come to be with us each and every time you do. And we just pray that the Lord will bless each and every one of us today. We're going to take our reading lesson today from the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. The third chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I ask that you pray for me today. While you're turning there, I'll just make this reference. I think if some of you I know takes notes about the sermons and maybe writes it into your Bibles. And I think I used a good portion of this a few months ago in a message. And I hope and pray, well, that message, I thought I was going to get to this part of it. And the Lord just kept me on other parts of it. So today we're going to start out with reading verse 11. And like I said, I read part of this, I think, or most all of this, just a few months ago, but nevertheless, the Lord has his reasons. And he says, the 11th verse says of the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, "For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." That's reading verses 11 through 15 for our reading lesson today. And I ask that you be prayerful for us today. I've heard different ones talk about your allergies being acting up. I've had my bout with it myself this week to a certain degree. And I just ask you to pray that, first of all, this message will be what God wants it to be. Now, I think in the previous message a few months ago, I talked about the foundations, that which is Jesus Christ, and what we build upon that foundation. Today's message, I think, is basically going to come quite a bit out of the 13th and 14th verses, when it says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest." And basically what we're talking about here, when you read these three verses, you start to see that the Bible is talking about a judgment that is coming. How many of you have ever heard that there's going to be a judgment day? Nobody? A few hands. Where y'all been? Judgment day is coming. And most of the people of the world today believes that the judgment day is the day of separation as far as who's going to heaven and who's not. That's not what this judgment is about. It's not about who's going to heaven and who is not. That's already been designated. You know, one of my favorite songs is "My Name Is Already There." And that song basically, and as Brother Sam sings it from time to time, It makes the statement that when that I got saved, that's not the exact words, but when that I got saved, God wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not only mine, but every other person that has ever been saved by the grace of God has their name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that is the book that designates whether or not that an individual is going to heaven or they're going to hell. If you go back over into the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, and I'm not going there, but basically what it says in the very last verse, it says, whoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire, I think is the actual wording there. But the fact of the matter is, that is the designation of where that an individual is going to go when they die, whether they're going to heaven or whether they're going to hell. So then what's this judgment going to be? In the first chapter of the book of Psalms, in the fifth verse, it says that the ungodly, let me go over there and read that. I'm going to mess it up if I don't go there and read it exactly. In the first chapter of Psalms, the fifth verse, it says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. There's coming a judgment, but it's not for the sinners, is it? There will be a judgment for them. You'll find that also in the 20th, it's in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, where it talks about they'll be judged for their works also. But these works that we're talking about here today is those which are built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ today. Now, there is coming a judgment in that day. And what I want us to look at today is somewhat some questions about this judgment and the judgment that will be coming upon all individuals. If you go to the third chapter of Colossians, we're going to answer one of the first questions that comes to people's minds. And what it says in the 23rd verse of the third chapter, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as the Lord, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Now, one of the great things that people have in their minds today as far as doing good works in church is what we can do for other people. I agree, we ought to be doing for other people in the world today. I'm thankful for our perishable food giveaway. I'm thankful for the other things that we are doing for other individuals. But everything that we should be doing should be unto the Lord, is what he said here. But I want you to back up and notice a word there where it says heartily there. Now, I wish that I had went back and looked it up to give you a clear definition of what it means to be heartily, doing it heartily unto the Lord. But this is going to be my definition of it. Putting forth a great effort for the Lord himself. Many people today go about things in a halfway manner. I watched basketball yesterday just about all day. That's what you do when you're a grandparent. You go to their ball games. And we watched the basketball kids playing basketball yesterday. And you know there's always those kids that when the ball goes down the court, they run very slowly down the court. I remember years ago when our kids was playing junior pro, as they called it, there was one little girl, this was the little bitty kids, was playing ball, and the kids would run down, shoot the ball, the other kids grab it, run to the other end, shoot the ball, run back and forth. Finally, this one little girl just stopped And she said, her mother called out to her and she said, go down there and help them. She said, they'll be back in a minute. And it was. But she had done got past the idea of running the court. Many people today, as far as working for the Lord, have gotten past the fact of running the court for the Lord. Many people today have gotten to the point where that they do everything spiritually in a halfway manner. Many people today, and I'll say it this way, now I'm glad every one of you is here. I'm sorry that everybody else is not here. Brother Massey made the statement the other day, it is the Lord's desire that his house be full. And that's what the scripture does tell us. But the fact of the matter, we're not full, are we? There is a reason for that. And we have some that are waiting on the other end of the court that are waiting for us to come for them, aren't they? Wait for us to come back to them. Now, the idea that I want us to keep in mind today, I'm not fussing about attendance, but I'm talking about us doing for God to the very fullest extent that we can possibly do for Him. And what I mean by that is that we are to serve the Lord to the very best of our ability, is what He's saying. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Not that you're doing it for me, not that you're doing it for the other people in the congregation. You're doing it for the Lord. When we stand up to testify, are we doing it so that Brother Tim can see you testify? Maybe you'd like Sister Joan to see you testify. I doubt it. You either one of you picking you out. Sorry for picking both of y'all out. It's not about the fact that we are doing it for individuals. We're doing it for God. And that's what God is going to be judging us for in this day. I can remember myself when I was playing ball as a kid. I was that little chubby kid that did not run the court very well. I'll be honest with you about it. But the idea that we had in that day is you still put the very best effort into what that you were doing. Now listen to what he goes on this and to say here in Colossians. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. There is a reward that is involved in this judgment. Yes, it's not all about everything being burned up. There is a reward that is coming to every one of us that has been saved. I will say it in this matter of verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of person. Let's talk about the judgment as it is today. There is a reward to those that do good. Everybody likes to sing the song about the stars in our crown. Maybe some of you haven't heard that song. It's an old, old song that was sung years ago. When we talk about our rewards, we talk about the joys of heaven and how that we're going to enjoy those things. But I want us to think about what's going to happen before we get to heaven. There's coming a time of judgment, and it's not to see whether or not that we are going to heaven, but what we have done for Him. It's about what He wants to see out of us is what we're talking about today. In the book of Job, I want you to take a look at chapter 34 is where we're going here today. These are not the words of Job himself, but you'll remember there was a young man that was the son of the three good friends of Job that came and talked to him and basically told him that he was a sinner and that he needed to repent of his sin. Job said, I hadn't done anything of these things. But Job had
gotten to a place where he was a little bit higher than everybody else, even in his mind. In other words, he had a taste of pride that was in his mind. Most people do not think about that, but if you go and really study the words of Job, especially about the 20-something chapter, those 20 chapters, you'll see what Job was talking about as far as pride. And when he would not hear them, this young man said, there is a spirit inside of me that allows me to speak. And he says, you need to listen to what I'm saying. He says, not because I have more wisdom, but because that the Spirit of God is leading. Now, what he says about this time, you'll find in the 34th chapter. And you'll look at verse 10. And he says, therefore, hearken unto me, ye men of verse 11. For the works of a man shall he render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his way. God knows our works, doesn't he? God knew what I had on my mind sitting over here this morning, or back there, or even outside. He knows what's in our minds already. So what he's talking about here in the 11th verse is, for the work of a man shall he render, and that means squeeze out the good parts of it or the bad parts that it was. We used to, as young men growing up, they would render the fat of a hog to make lard that people could cook with. And basically what it did, it involved a boiling of the fat, and the liquid would come out of it, and it would be called rendering the lard. In other words, you got what was useful out of that was there. Now, the remainder of it, we still ate it, but it wasn't good for cooking. I liked it actually better than the other until I realized that's what made mother's cooking good. But the rendering of it was for a purpose. God's going to judge us for a purpose. How many of you today, and I'm not asking for a show of hands on this, how many of you today thinks that you are perfect and live a very good, righteous life? Not me. I'm not perfect. I'm a human being. That's what we all are. So what God is going to do in this judgment, he is going to render us. He's going to take out the impurities of us, and then we will be a fit subject for glory and everlasting life forever and ever and ever. Not talking about the soul, but about the flesh. Hey, did you remember that the Bible said that there's going to be a resurrection, and that body is going to come forth from the grave, and we're going to meet God in the air, and we're going to live with God forever and ever and ever? Do you think that body is imperfect? You think it's fleshly like this? No, there's a judgment time there where that it's going to be rendered to be made useful for God's use is what it's going to do. Now listen to what he goes on to say. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. We need to remember that God is righteous. He not only knows our shortcomings, he not only knows when that we're doing good, but he knows everything about us, but he also will be just in his judgment. He will not look at one of you and say, because of what they have done in their lives, I'm going to let that pass. That's generally what we do today, don't we? We look at maybe our children and we say, well, they've lived a hard time here the last few months. We'll let that judgment call that they made, that was not a good idea. We'll let that pass this time, won't we? God's not going to be that way. He is going to be one that is going, not going to pervert his judgment. It'll be a righteous judgment is what it's going to be. Now, my question is today, is if it's going to be a righteous judgment, what are we going, how are we going to be judged? Because the next question is, it is like every child that comes to their parents after that they have gotten into trouble about something. One of the statements that a child will make is, I didn't know. Maybe that's more so to a teacher. I didn't know. So how is God going to treat them in that time? Now, if you go over to the 24th chapter of Proverbs, the writer is Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. And listen to what he says about those that will say, I didn't know. If thou sayest, behold, this is verse 12, he said, behold, if thou sayest, we knew it not. That's the question, isn't it? Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? Who ponders the heart? Who sees our heart? Who knows our hearts above everybody else? God does. God does. How many of you men here today knows exactly your wife's hearts and desires? If one of you raises your hand, I'm going to... We don't know. Vice versa, too, isn't it? Our wives, my ladies, you don't even know your children's hearts, do you? But God knows your heart. And He knows where we do not understand. He said, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? Now, there are individuals out there that have been saved, and truthfully, they have not come to a place of really good understanding about God and about His ways. We have those individuals. They come, they get saved, and maybe even they join the church and get baptized, and they don't ever come back to church. Lord, have mercy on them. They've wasted an opportunity to give their God great glory and honor is what they've done. Yes, they got saved. That's glory to God. Yes, they followed the Lord in baptism. Glory to God that they did. But they are needed in the house of God, aren't they? They're needed in God's purpose, aren't they? So what did he say? He said, he that pondereth the heart considers it. And he that keepeth thy soul doth he know it, and shall he not render to every man according to his works? There's that word render again. And what it means is to squeeze out the bad or squeeze out the good. He renders it out of us in that day of judgment. Now, listen to this 13th verse and see if it doesn't cause a question mark to go with this verse first. And he said, and my son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. Does that look like that it goes with that other verse? Truthfully, it doesn't. I like honey. You know, in Solomon's day, they didn't have chocolate pies. They didn't have Miss Ruth's coconut cake. They didn't have the other things that we so much crave today. They didn't have a Snickers bar or a Butterfinger or Butterfinger ice cream, far as that goes. But the idea is they what they had for a sweet tooth, the main thing they had was what God gave them, and that was honey. Now, I can remember as a child, and I've kind of gotten away from this in my adult years, I'll take a spoonful of honey and I'll just let it run down on a piece of bread and fold it up and eat it. And boy, that's good. But I can remember if I really wanted something sweet, I would get the honeycomb out of the jar. Just a piece of it was enough. And it was sweeter than you could even imagine. If you've never eaten a honeycomb, folks, go buy you a can of honey that's got a honeycomb in there. Pull out that piece and just sit there and enjoy chewing on that. Kids, that was your original chewing gum. That's what it was, really. It was your original chewing gum. And it was sweeter than the honey was. Now, you might say, well, what's that got to do with God knowing us? Instruction in verse 14. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. The knowledge of wisdom. I'll just ask you a question. When you was a kid and you got caught doing something wrong, and your parents had you dead to rights, and you used that excuse, did they not educate you as to what you had done wrong so that you would not do it again? Did they not instruct you that, no, don't touch that vase. No, don't pull that over on you. Don't stick those scissors into a plug. That was the things when I was a kid that we were instructed in, sometimes the hard way, but all of these things were meant to be instruction. Where is the instruction for us as children of God? Y'all know this book? That's where your instruction's at. How are you going to have good things to be taken out in that day of judgment? Remember what Paul wrote in Corinthians. He said, you're going to be tried by fire. Remember how it talked about the lard was brought out? How that it was the fat and it was heated and boiled to a certain state and it come up to a certain place, and then it was useful for the ladies to cook with, was what they did. All of that came together to make something really good. So when that an individual, and when they have that knowledge of the wisdom unto thy soul, when thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Now, what he meant by cutting off, many people would say that meant they didn't get to go to heaven. That's not what it is. But when that individuals get out into the world and they forget about God, they forget about his word, they forget about the Lord and his work, they get cut off. Do they not? Not their souls. But they get out so far out into the world and they get in so much trouble in their lives that they just tear everything apart about their life. Brother Tom, in his Sunday school lesson this morning, he was talking about how that the children of Israel, king after king, they would do the works of Jeroboam. And basically what it was the fact that they would worship idols, but they would also worship God, but not in the right ways, is what he said. And he's right about that. There's many people today that when they get saved and join the Lord's church, they'll go to some other denomination and they'll say, oh, this is just like what I grew up in. It's not. That was the idea Jeroboam had. This is just like they had in Jerusalem. It's not. But why? Because it's not what God instructed. And when you go away from God, guess what? You're going to have works that's going to be rendered out that are impure. So it is important for us to keep these things on our mind. That God is going to have a judgment one of these days. And he says, every man's work shall be made manifest. Manifest means to be made evident. Now, when I was a young preacher, there was a lot of people that came up with the bright idea. They said Judgment Day was going to be like you was going to a movie. God's got a big screen up there, and you're going to be, you and everybody else is going to see your works. That's not scriptural. But they are going to be made manifest. They're going to be made evident. Who to? Us and God. So many times, I think about this a lot of times. We don't want to disappoint our parents. That always hurt me when I realized I disappointed my parents. And so many times, after the fact, I think about I disappointed God. And he knows about it, every one of them. But when those books are opened up, those records are brought out, he knows your heart. And he knows where you're short of. But he knows that you could have been better than what you are. He knows that you could have studied his word. He knows that you could have been in church that particular Sunday morning. He knows that you had an opportunity to talk to some lost soul. He knows that you could have said something to some church member that was down and out, that you could have lifted them up. He knows all of these things, and he realizes that we are nothing but flesh. But remember, his judgment is going to be true. He said, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, being on Jesus, he shall receive a reward. I don't know what my reward will be. I don't know that it's actually scriptural, the stars in your crown. I know that there is a crown laid up for me. Is what Paul says. And he says, not only for me, but for everyone that loveth his appearing, is the way Paul said it. So we're all going to give a crown. And I'm of the opinion we're going to do like the elders did in the fifth chapter. We're going to take them crowns off and we're going to lay them down at Jesus' feet. So what is our reward? I don't know. I'm going to tell you, I think the greatest reward will be is just being there. But should it be enough? Should we not want God to be toward us like the parable of the men that he left so much for each one of them? When he came to that one that had five talents, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Do you know every one of us has been given something that we may increase? And he's going to judge how we use that. And Lord help us if we buried it in the ground. He didn't treat that feller too good, did he? You have an opportunity today to follow the Lord. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. How would he lose? Well, the works he could have done that was so good and got a reward for, they've done past. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Fire's not going to save him. The fire didn't make the lard in the pot, but it made it come out to where it could be useful.
And that's what the fire is doing. That's our message, Brother Sam. While we stand and sing, let us ponder how we're going to be better servants for God, remembering that there is coming a day of judgment to all of us. Sinner friend, there is a judgment for you, as I said earlier. And that book is the book of life. And that book has the names of them that are saved by the grace of God in it. And if your name is not written there, you better get busy with God. You better start trying to get saved. You better repent of your sin right here and right now, because there's coming a day of judgment for you. And it's not going to be a rendering as far as whether your works are good or bad. It's on whether or not your name is written there. It's a good time to seek God right now while we stand and sing.
Number 95. 95.